Let's bring in Danielle DiMartino Booth, Quill Intelligence LLC CEO and Director of Intelligence. Danielle, you saw Brian sort of lay out the case here. Certainly the market anticipating this accelerated taper timeline. How aggressively do you think the Fed needs to move?
Well, I think the Fed needs to be more measured than it's being pressured to be, and specifically pressured by politicians. So we have to remember that Jay Powell has been one of the most active Fed chairs in the history of the institution in terms of how often he's up on the Hill and how many people in Congress that he's visited with and the meetings that he's had. So he's feeling tremendous amounts of pressure to try and attack this 39-year high in inflation. And you actually, if you're looking specifically through the prism of goods inflation, you know, durable goods items that we buy, you have to go back to 1942, not back to the 70s and 80s. You have to go back to 1942 before you can find other inflation prints that have been this high. And of course, that was a time that we were at war and there were major supply chain disruptions for other reasons. But again, this is very problematic. And I think he's going to have to listen to some of the voices in Washington. And to Brian's point, are we going to see the Fed chair who we saw in 2018. And in December of 2018, he was very upsetting to the markets, and we forget that. This is prior to the Powell pivot.
Yeah, Danielle, I mean, as a former Fed official yourself, it's pretty interesting the timing of all this too, right? And it's probably the worst possible scenario to be coming off of a dovish stance when you've got Omicron and now cases in the UK hitting a daily record. I mean, that's a big unknown. And so even though the market might be anticipating some of these things, it's still a large question mark in terms of whether or not now is the time to be shifting a policy stance. I mean, how difficult is that for anyone at the Fed, whether it's Powell or not, to ever manage a decision like that?
I do not envy Powell at all. I don't envy the individuals on the committee. I would hate to be having to put my dot on the dot plot today, especially on the day when retail sales come out. And we hear that core retail sales, if you exclude building materials, autos and gas, actually contracted last month. I mean, that's the last thing you want to see. Even if you want to argue that a lot of the holiday shopping was pulled forward into September and October, even so, you don't want to see a negative print on retail sales while you're anticipating a rate hiking cycle, possibly. And you've got a lot of hawkish members rotating into voting in 2022. So Powell is also dealing with the specter of not one, not two, but possibly three and four dissents at any given meeting if he's not willing to accelerate the pace of the tightening.
Danielle, there is a question about, you know, whether in fact the market expectations match where the Fed actually is. You know, we've had a few weeks now to sort of think about that testimony from Jay Powell, where he said he was essentially retiring the word transitory. You've highlighted the expectation right now is for that first rate hike to come in March. Do you think that's justified? If you look at where things are in terms of the trajectory of the economy, should that rate hike come in March or potentially be pushed back a little further?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because of the rapidity, and I don't mean to get in the weeds here, but how quickly the yield curve is compressing is very problematic for the Fed. And that tells you that they may be running out of time. So the difference between the 2-year treasury and the 10-year treasury, which is something that we spoke about for it seems like an entire year in 2019. That is problematic all over again. We've seen it go from 160 basis points, 1.6 percentage points to 80 in the space of 6-7 months. That's the fastest we've ever seen the yield curve compress. And I would hate to have to be Jay Powell and say come March, the yield curve might even be inverted if the market begins to anticipate too much tightening. And you're stuck in between a rock and a hard place, proverbially speaking, because you cannot hike interest rates when the yield curve is telling you the economy is going into recession. So, you know, you're right. There is a differential here between what the market is anticipating and what the Fed may be able to deliver.
There is maybe one improving piece of this recovery, and we've seen it kind of continue to play out. It is the declining unemployment rate. And on that front, I mean, there are a lot of questions about people maybe retiring early, dropping out of the labor force, and how big of a swing factor that is in really seeing that rate go down. But I mean, when you look at maybe the labor side of things and wage pressures for increases there, still not really living up to the rate of inflation. So, I mean, when you kind of step back and look at maybe the health of the U.S. consumer here across different income spectrums, what do you assess in terms of how that piece of the recovery is shaping up to be?
Well, I mean, look, we don't talk about it as much because there's no more supplemental unemployment benefits and there's no more rental eviction moratorium. But there are still some very significant sources of fiscal stimulus that are helping out the lowest income earners right now. And what happens in 2022 as we turn our eyes towards the midterm elections and moderate Democrats such as Joe Manchin, John Tester of Montana Sinema, it becomes very important whether or not this fiscal relief is going to continue in monetary form, like in cash deposits into the new year. If that's not the case, and we're seeing retail sales slow, again, it's a very difficult situation because the consumer has been the source of strength throughout this this cycle in the post-pandemic era. Housing has been very strong. Auto sales have been very strong. But, you know, auto sales are off 7 of the last 8 months. At some point, you cannot ignore some of the red flags that are being raised by the consumer when consumption is 71% of U.S. economic output.
Let's talk more about the fiscal side then, because as you know, we have seen President Biden getting hit pretty hard as we see inflationary pressures tick up. You know, he has argued that they've tried to move the shipping along at ports. You know, they've tried to release from the petroleum reserves to try and bring gas prices down. But I'm wondering, as we talk about the monetary side of things, what more do you think needs to be done on the fiscal side?
Well, I'm actually with Joe Manchin in saying that we need to step back and reassess what fiscal spending has done, past tense. You know, we had a 32% increase in supplemental nutrition assistance in the assistance program, which we used to call food stamps. We had a 32% increase on October the 1st. You know, that's the biggest increase in the entire history of the program. We've never seen anything this monumental, and it's feeding straight into food inflation, which very few people talk about. And these are critical. These we're talking about the most essential budgetary items for consumers. And a lot of this lays at the feet of fiscal policy that's become too aggressive. And it's actually creating inflation that is the most regressive tax for the lowest income earner and the middle income earner as well, that is not that does not have access to a lot of these government benefits. So I'm of the opinion right now that we need to take a pause when it comes to fiscal stimulus and step back and say, what if fiscal stimulus and monetary policy are feeding off of each other and exacerbating this inflationary situation that we're looking at?
Daniel DiMartino Booth, Quill Intelligence, LLC CEO and Director of Intelligence. I always get to get your insight. Appreciate the time today.